Let us continue worshiping the Lord with prayer, and ask you to join me as I lead you in praying. Let us pray. Father God, we do acknowledge you as our God, and we do want to proclaim you as our Lord. On this weekend, as we turn our minds and hearts to you about missions, we thank you for being the greatest missionary. We thank you for sending your one and only Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord, into this world to save sinners like us. We were once dead in our sins and trespasses, and yet Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He shed his precious blood in order to cleanse us from all sins. He died for us in order to redeem us from the bondage of sin. And on the third day, he rose again so that we may have this glorious hope, this eternal life in him. We praise you and we give thanks to you, O Lord. O Lord, as we continue our journey here on earth, help us understand the purpose of our lives. Help us know what you want us to do. Not just because this is the missionary conference weekend, but really every day, so that we can truly live in a manner worthy of your calling, so that we can truly represent you here on earth, so that we can truly be ambassadors for Christ wherever we may be. O God, we pray that your Spirit will continue to shape and mold us so that we can become instruments fit for your service, at home here and maybe abroad. O Lord, we thank you for partnering with us in your kingdom ministry. And so as we continue this worship service, we ask that you speak to us through your servant, the Reverend Enoch Hall. May he bring us your word, and may your word stir us up. May your word challenge us so that we can truly stand up for you and be counted as your witnesses in this time. In this time when there is so many needs around the world, O Lord, send us out so that we can bring your gospel to the dark places, to the people who are in need. So may you be with us now and bless the preaching of your word and the listening to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters. It is my pleasure to welcome you to the annual missionary conference. And this morning, we are very blessed to have God's servant, the Reverend Enoch Hall, and his wife may be over the other side preparing for children's ministry. But we are very glad that they can come to us from the farthest place we can imagine, up in the north of Quebec, from a place called, Oujibukamu. That's right. Yeah, see, I'm still learning how to say that word. That word means a gathering place. And Pastor Enoch and his wife have been ministering to the Cree people for more than 30 years. And he is the first Chinese missionary to be sent to minister to First Nations people. And so we are very glad that we can have him as our keynote speaker for the conference this weekend. And so I'd like to invite Pastor Hall to the pulpit.
Good morning. Just rejoice with you in the Lord, beautiful worship, and sense the presence of God. I want to also express our thanks, me and my wife, to Reverend Lam and the missions board and the congregation for giving us the invitation to be able to come here and share this weekend with you. Just before we began, one of the members that was leading a service and asked me, how do you say, how do you greet people in the Cree language? So this is why I'm going to include a little bit information about the Aboriginal or the First Nation people of Canada. Gway. Gway. So if you are very happy and excited to greet your friend, you just say, Gway, 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 means hello. And on June 11th, 2008, there was an historical event that took place in Canada. It's very important and crucial because for a long time, for many centuries, the first people, the Aboriginal people in North America, they've been oppressed, they've been deprived of a lot of their rights, and they suffer through the hands of settlers that migrate and came to the new continent. And we know that there are a lot of social issues and social problems that is so prevalent among the Aboriginal or First Nation people, not only in Canada, but also in the United States. And the reason is very simple. They've been oppressed, they've been persecuted, and there was also genocide. And there were Aboriginal or Indian tribes in the United States that have been wiped out, and also in the country of Canada. All the First Nation people on the island of the Newfoundland perished. And so on June 11, 2008, our Prime Minister, Mr. Stephen Harper, and the government representing the people of Canada had the courage to invite the leaders of all the First Nation Aboriginal leaders from across Canada to come and attend a special occasion called the Apology. And the National Grand Chief, Phil Fontaine, and other Aboriginal leaders were allowed to be on the floor of the House of Commons of the Parliament Building of Canada. They were not elected, but they were on the main floor with all the politicians to receive the apology. And after the speech by the Prime Minister of Canada, National Grand Chief Phil Fontaine responded and accepted the apology. And this is the official document that contains all the words of that speech. And I believe the reason why Canada is spared from the worldwide global recession unscathed, because our government and the Prime Minister had the courage to rewrite the wrongs. Because the Word of God said, if you do not forgive others, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you. And so we are so blessed to be able to live and work and enjoy the blessing of God here in Canada. But if The government of Canada and the Prime Minister did not mend the broken relationship. There will still be a lot of consequence from all this oppression and all this discrimination that been against Canada's original inhabitants. You know, it's not only us, most of us, that came over here from Hong Kong or Asia to settle in this beautiful country, but the English and the French people also, they were settlers, came from Europe. And we are privileged to be able to enjoy the goodness and the blessing of God in this beautiful land called Canada. And we owe it all to the First Nation people, to the Aboriginal people. So this is also a Christian way. As we pray the Lord's Prayer, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. You want to be free emotionally, financially, spiritually, we need to learn to forgive and also to ask for forgiveness. And once that's done, you are not carrying any more baggage. We are free. We are free people. A land that is free and bountiful. God bless Canada. You know, I'm very proud of our Prime Minister. You may agree or disagree with him in his political ideologies, but he's a born-again believer. And I believe that everything that he is able to accomplish is a result of many Christians and believers of the Lord Jesus Christ upholding him in his position as Prime Minister of Canada. For most of us that came from Hong Kong, the only way that we know a little bit about Indian people is when we watch cowboys and Indian movies. That was my own understanding at that time. I had no idea, never thought about that I would even end up working and living among Canada's Aboriginal people. And they still live and work just like the old days. And you see the teepees. It's a vast, beautiful land called Canada. Indian people, they are very intelligent and very smart. They invented a lot of things that are still being used today. The canoe. Snowshoes. And moccasins, a lot of things. The toboggan, they were invented by the Aboriginal people of Canada. I'm not going to go through all the slides and explain it, but skip, and people want to know what they eat and how they live. But one of the sad stories, even though the Aboriginal people of Canada comprise a very small percentage of the total population of Canada, but the incarceration rate is way high. Around 70 to 80% of inmates that are locked up behind the prison bars are Aboriginal people. And yet, there's only around 500,000 Aboriginal people in Canada. There's a lot of crime, alcoholism, drug abuse, suicide attempts, violence, and it's prevalent. Doesn't matter where you go, from the East Coast to the West Coast in Canada, and even you go down to the United States of Canada, the American Indian people and also the Canadian Aboriginals, they share the same social ills. This is very interesting. People do ask me questions. How do you say a word, something like this word or that word in the Indian language? So They use a syllabic system. It was invented by a missionary from the Methodist Church that went to work with the native people in Canada about 100 years ago. And when he listened and want to learn the language, he just used the shorthand symbol just to record it, the sound of the words. And then eventually, the Cree people and also the Inuit people, they adopted this system of writing because they found it so easy, and they are able to read and write their own language with these symbols. Just in case you don't know that the syllabic is found in the Canadian currency. All right. There's the nu, there's the na, there's the vut. So if you follow the chart, you'll be able to pronounce it. Nunavut. It's on the our tuni, the $2 coin. I came from the area in, we say northern Quebec, actually central Quebec, because the northern part is inhabited by the Inuit people. So I work with the Aboriginal people in the James Bay area. There are 9 Cree reserves or communities in James Bay, and Ujibugamo is one of the outlying community in the south of the Cree territory. I'm going to skip to look at the kind of food they eat. These are called Canada geese. It's a very handsome bird. And I see them wearing like a tuxedo, gentleman-like. But for the Aboriginal people, the native people, they say, these birds are beautiful, but we like to eat them too. And in the springtime, just before the lake melts, and the geese would fly from the south, from Mexico, all the way to the Arctic Circle, and halfway they would land. And if there's open water, no problem, but there's still floating ice. So the geese would land on the ice, and the Indian people would go out and shoot them. So see how many of them? They can bring a lot of these birds home and cook them. Roast in fire. They also kill and hunt moose. So the moose hide, they can use that for making jackets, gloves, hats, moccasins, and they eat the meat. There's a man and wife carving up the moose in front of the house in the driveway. Bear, you hear about on the news here in Vancouver, especially north in Vancouver sometime, black bear would intrude into people's home and run through the glass and walk right into the living room. But in native people, well, if a bear met a native or Aboriginal, you have to find out who's going to eat who. So this is a delicacy. The bear head is a delicacy reserved only for the elder, the senior people in the community. Young people, kids, they are not allowed to touch or eat it because very, very delicious. The meat on the cheek and the brain. And they cook with the open fire. They don't use charcoal. They just chop down some trees and they use them as firewood and they roast the meat. Could be moose meat, could be rabbit, could be beaver, could be bear. They roast in the open fire. And talk about winter. There's only 4 seasons in northern Quebec in Ujibugamo area. 4 seasons, I can tell you. Winter, 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 and winter. And here's a picture of the Bible college that we founded. In the winter time, the snow on the ground is about 4 feet, and the snow on the roof is about the same. And then, wajie. Vajje means goodbye. If I just say Vajje, I'm going to close my laptop, I can just walk out there. But I'm going to bring the word, the message. Who will pick up the torch of world evangelization? We want to follow the theme and challenge and encourage the believers in the Lord to receive the commission and also to obey the Great Commission. The scripture was read from Luke chapter 10, 2 to 3. Then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest that he may send forth laborers into his harvest." Verse 3, "Go, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." And also in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you shall receive power, the Holy Spirit coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth." This is my own personal interpretation. When I study and meditate on Acts 1 and 8, I see there's a divine plan. God has a chosen pattern for world evangelization. World evangelization comes full circle. The gospel originated and spread from Jerusalem to the world and will one day return to Jerusalem as its final point. Jerusalem, the starting point, and also the finish point. And then it traveled westbound to Europe and further and crossed the ocean to Americas and then through the Pacific Ocean to Asia. And now we are on the last leg of this loop. So from Jerusalem, gospel spread throughout the entire Roman Empire. And then the believers from Europe brought the gospel across the ocean to the New World. And then the last world empire is the British Empire. They had a motto. It says, "The sun never sets in the British Empire." And missionaries took advantage of the safety and the protection of the British authority. They travel freely to distant land to spread the gospel in the British Empire territories. And then after the Second World War, the UK influence have receded, but then a new world power arose. It was the United States. And then missionaries from the United States of America continued to carry the gospel to various parts of the world. So when I was a little boy growing up, when we hear about missionaries are coming to the church, and most of the time we know that these missionaries would be coming from America, from the United States. But I believe we are at a juncture, at a moment of time. Divine, God's appointment is for the Chinese church to rise up to the occasion to evangelize the world. From Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the uttermost of the earth, to the ends of the earth. Went to Europe, went to the Americas, and now the gospel is in Asia. We hear report about the revival in Korea, the revival in mainland China, but there's also other parts of Asia. God is doing great and mighty work in the Far East. And I believe God, personally, I'm biased, but I believe this is the moment, this is the hour that God wants to raise up the Chinese church to finished the last leg, to complete this commission. This loop going to come to an end, and it will finally arrived in Jerusalem. So will the Chinese church rise to the occasion and lead the way to evangelize the world? Our answer should be, the Chinese church will carry the torch to reach the final point and return the gospel to Jerusalem. It's definite, it's affirmative. We will. And is the Chinese church ready? Is the Chinese church capable to meet the challenge and to mobilize Chinese missionaries to evangelize the world? There was a stereotype. Whenever we use the word missionary, right away we would imagine they would be Caucasian. Someone from Europe or from North America. But people need to prepare. From now on, when we hear the word missionary, could be believers from Asia and mainly from the Chinese churches, both overseas Chinese churches and also Chinese church in mainland China. I believe the Chinese church can rise to the occasion to accept the challenge to evangelize the world. Do we have the burden for the lost? Do you have the burden for the lost? I hope your answer is yes. Do we have the will to obey the Great Commission? Yes. Yes, we are. Yes, we can. Do we have the resources to mobilize and support missionaries' endeavor? Chinese people are no longer poor. We are big consumers. We can spend. We can even afford to buy a home that's $1 million or $1.5 million easy in the Vancouver area. Do we have qualified and trained missionary personnel to be sent to reach people of all nationalities and tongues? We're working on it, but we slowly, surely, we will achieve that goal. Do we have the determination and commitment to persevere until the job is done? This is very important. Starting something is easy, but continuing and carrying on and persevere until the job is done takes a lot of commitment, takes a lot of hard work, takes a lot of sweat and tears and prayer and pain and suffering. In Acts chapter 11, verse 19, then indeed they who were scattered abroad by the persecution that rose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to no one except the Jews. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus. There was a revival in Jerusalem when the church began and was born on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 souls were saved on one occasion, one preaching, and another 5,000, another 10,000. There was a revival. A lot of people from the Jewish nation came to know Christ as their own Messiah or personal Savior. But all those times, the apostles and the leaders of the church in Jerusalem, they only reached out and ministered to Jewish people alone. But because of the persecution that came to the church, some of the Jewish believers traveled to other parts of the Roman Empire, and there's a small group, they decided there's a good commission by Jesus Christ to tell us to disciple all nations. So when they came into contact with the Hellenists or the Greeks, they said, why not? Tell them about Jesus. Preach the gospel to them. So the church in Antioch is not a monolithic Jewish church. It was a church that composed of both the Jews and the Gentile nation, the ethnics. They were together. Not two churches, but one church in Antioch. I know that we do schedule Cantonese service, Chinese service, other language groups in our churches in Vancouver City. But when you study the Bible, churches in the biblical time, New Testament churches, are city churches. In one city, one church, one congregation, open to all the different nationalities and language and race. So I'm very pleased to see among this gathering in this congregation this morning, there's both Chinese and non-Chinese people. And it is the calling and our duty to go and preach the gospel to all nations and make disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a calling and also our duty. Yes, the Chinese church will carry the torch to evangelize the world. We have to say yes, no choice. God has appointed us for this moment. On this occasion, I want to remember a missionary, Annie Funk, that went to India. This is the centennial commemoration of the sinking of the Titanic. Missionaries in India put out an emergency urgent call for an unmarried or single lady to come and work with them in India. And then Annie expressed interest. And she said, several years ago, I promised the Lord if the way would open to go to foreign field, I would do my duty. Now the door is open wide enough for me to do my duty to the extent of being willing to go. And she went to Jhansi, India in 1906 at the age of 32. At that time, India had famine, leprosy, cholera, extreme heat. And in 1908, she started a one-room school for girls and later named Funk Memorial Girls' School. This is part of what we know about her. But something at the sinking of Titanic, she was one of the passengers on board. She gave up her seat on the lifeboat. When she saw there was a woman with a child still standing at the edge of the board, she got back up to the ship and let the woman and the child to take her place. And a year later, in the cemetery at the Hereford Mennonite Church Cemetery, a monument was erected. It read, her life was one of service in the spirit of the Master, not to be ministered unto, but to minister. I want to challenge you, follow the footsteps of Annie and other missionaries, not only to be willing to go, but also to be willing to lay down your life for the sake of the gospel so that someone can be touched by God. Back to the theme. It's our duty to pray for the harvest. Jesus told us to pray for the harvest. Jesus also commanded us to pray for the laborers because the field is ready, ripe unto harvest, but the laborers are few. So we have to pray for the harvest. We have to pray for the workers or the laborers. But don't be surprised when you pray, because God always answers prayer. If God doesn't answer prayer, why bother to pray? God answers prayer. He always does. You are the answer for what you have been praying to God for. When you look around, God, send him, send her. They are ready, they are trained, they went to Bible college or seminary, they have that burden for the lost, and these people are nice, they should go to the mission field. But when you pray for the harvest and when you pray for the laborers, then the answer comes. And you are shocked, you say, me? Who? Me? Why me? But God said, remember, you've been praying for the harvest. You've been praying for the laborers. You have the love and the burden. Why not you? Instead of saying, why me, Lord? You say, why not me? In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, Isaiah responded to the call of God for his life. He said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And Romans 10 says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good news." So when God looks down at you, he's not only looking at your heart, but he's also looking at your feet. Do I see beautiful feet here? If you have beautiful feet, why? Because you accept the call of God, the challenge of God to go. The Gospels start with the letters G and O. It's go, spell. Go, spell the love of God. Go, spell the salvation of God. And may God bless you. Give back to the service leader. God bless you.